Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel text today begins with some rather challenging language. It starts out, Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." I don't know about you, but I thought this was the first Sunday of Advent, right? The first Sunday of Advent means that we are in the home stretch headed right for Christmas. The countdowns have already begun. And just in case anybody's wondering, there are only 26 shopping days left until Christmas. So I hope you're ready. All of us have been seeing Christmas decorations around us probably since around Halloween. And even in our sanctuary, we have a little bit of Christmas festivities. The Christmas parade was in Cheyenne yesterday, and I bet there's an awful lot of us that have already started to make our holiday travel plans. So with Christmas so much in the forefront of what we experience at this time of year, you can see how the apocalyptic language that is in the opening of Luke's gospel text today doesn't exactly resonate with that Christmas spirit that we find outside these church doors. In this section of the speech that Jesus gives from the temple in Jerusalem, we don't encounter Santa Claus. There's no mention of a smiling Virgin Mary. I don't think I remember hearing about a cooing baby Jesus, or inquisitive shepherds, or traveling wise men, or singing angels. No, the opening lines of this gospel text set a very different tone for what might surround us when we leave church. So why? Why would we place such apocalyptic imagery of endings and great calamities on the first Sunday of Advent? If this is a season of expectation of Christ's birth, of new beginnings, then why are we taken to the end? To the place in which Jesus speaks not of his first, but of his anticipated second coming at the end of the age? The answer to that question, I think, is found in the theme that we have for the first Sunday of Advent. It's the Sunday of hope. As we begin this new liturgical year, year C, the year of the Gospel of Luke, one of my favorites, we understand that the people who first heard this gospel were people who lived on the margins. They were a Greek-speaking Christian community that was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles that were under the control of the Roman Empire. Luke's gospel was written about 20 years after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and it was addressed to a people who were in despair, a people who had lost their center, a people who were still grappling with a changing spiritual landscape. They knew of Jesus' coming in the flesh. They knew of Jesus' death and resurrection. And they hoped for his return soon to relieve them of their current circumstances. They lived in that time between the now and the not yet of eschatological existence, that tension of knowing that the kingdom of God has drawn near in Jesus' presence among us, and yet also anticipating Christ's coming again. Hope. The people hearing this message from Luke were in desperate need of hope. And that is exactly what this text brings us if you pay attention. You see, this passage in Luke does begin with some very frightening images, but at the heart of what Jesus is saying is that in the face of fear and anxiety, we must cling to the knowledge that God is with us. The gospel says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." What would these words have meant to that early Christian community who were struggling under that oppressive Roman rule? You'll note that Jesus doesn't offer a specific timeline or date when redemption will be at hand. Instead, he says that in the midst of their trials, they must be alert The actual Greek word here is agrypnete. It's an imperative. It means be vigilant. Jesus told them, be on point. Stand watch. Stand guard. Step up so that you will be ready for what is coming. So that you will have the courage to endure your current circumstances. See, just like that Lucan community that who first heard this gospel text, we too are in a place of turmoil, and we need words of encouragement to carry on. Famine, drought, war, disease. These are struggles that we are still plaguing our world. And even closer to home, in our own country, people wrestle with greed, addiction, mental illness, and misplaced opportunities. This is why we have this text in our gospel today for the first Sunday of Advent. This is why we listen to words of apocalypse instead of the story of a baby in a manger. Because just like those early Christians, we need a reason for hope. We need to hear that Christ is coming. Be on guard, the gospel says, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all those things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, there is apocalyptic writing here that comes to us in the midst of trials that we cannot explain away. But there is good news here too. Christ is coming. Christ is coming not because of something that we have done, but because God loves us, because God wants to redeem us. And that redemption is not just a forgiveness of sins. It is also a rescue from tribulation as God defends us against hostile forces. Yes, the realities of this world press in on us. Realities of brokenness, of evil. Realities of pain and suffering that we can do nothing about. You can see it when we turn on the news. Terror in the streets of Brussels and Paris. Killing in a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. These images and so many more threaten to overwhelm us with fear and despair. But that is where this text in Luke's gospel meets us, just like it did for those early Christians. In the midst of this fearful specter that surrounds us, Jesus calls us to stand up and raise our heads because our redemption is drawing near through God at work in the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a very wonderful comment about Advent. He says, Advent is like sitting in a prison cell. One cannot do anything except hope, pray, and wait. Deliverance must come from the outside. You see, outside of these walls, there is a teeming world of chaos that threatens to overwhelm us, but in us, we have faith. We have this gift of the sacraments that renews us. We have hope. This is not to say that our hope will lead us away from our life in this present world. No, because even we all know that on Christmas morning, there will still be suffering in the world. And yet, our hope anchors us. Our hope grounds us in Christ so that we may stay alert, so we can lean forward, so we can show God's love in the world. The Reformed theologian Jürgen Moltmann calls this theology of hope as something not an opium from beyond, but rather as a divine power that makes us alive in the world. Jesus is calling you. Stand up. Raise your head. Be alert. For even though there are forces swirling around you which you cannot control, even though you may feel weary and broken, the good news of Advent is that Christ is coming. Not just that cute little baby in a manger surrounded by shepherds and angels and wise men, But Christ is coming as the Prince of Peace. Christ is coming as Emmanuel, God with us. Christ is coming as our Lord and Savior, by whose life, death, and resurrection our sins are forgiven and we are redeemed. So, on this first Sunday of Advent, as you listen to Luke's text that speaks of signs and portents and chaos, I also remind you to listen for that gospel message. Just as the leaves on the fig tree offer hope in late winter that summer is coming again, so God's word proclaimed in Jesus offers us redemption. Just as the words of institution declare to us, "This is my body and blood given for you," so God's promise through Christ gives us everlasting life. Advent is a time of expectation and waiting. Come confidently to this table, expecting God's grace. And for these next 4 weeks of Advent, wait. Wait to see how God's kingdom will break forth. Stand up. Raise your head. Be alert. Christ is coming. Amen.